Plan the next 12 years in Australia. It has been slammed in the media as a love-in. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I don't think it's a love-in, but I'm a bit disturbed that it's just 1,000 people. I mean, what's the population of Australia, Coffinhead? For God's sake, they could have asked Joe the Citizen.
Were you
AKA...
asked?
That's us.
Yeah, well, I tried to get those wildcard tickets. I was hoping that someone would be out the front spruiking them.
Well, if we look at some of the people that are down here, Kate Blanchett, a.k.a.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Kate Blanchett.
Shouldn't she be expressing milk or something?
Actually, Kate Blanchett.
I saw her trying to peddle a set of baby photos to one of the reps from New Idea down here. Now, I thought Kate was above and beyond all that sort of thing.
Oh, I don't think so.
Mm?
Yeah, I don't think so, Coffinhead.
Well, she's only 5 days since her the birth of her baby,
that
actually.
That's incredible.
So we have to give
she's
her credit
here,
for being down here today.
She is on a treadmill. She is here.
Jamie Packer's down here today,
You're
would you
kidding.
Believe?
Mm. I didn't think he was turning up.
Well,
he's changed his mind?
I did see a big limousine, a big Hummer limo go past.
Right, okay,
and,
well.
Who else would be riding in something like that?
This is true.
We've got people from the welfare lobby, Tim Costello. We've got Indigenous groups. We've got people from baby centres. Everyone basically with some kind of agenda.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, Indigenous groups, that building belongs to them. They've formed the tent embassy. They've been there for decades on the lawn. They should open up the entire building and just hand it straight over. Enough of this sorry stuff. Give them the building.
Look, as we speak, the opening ceremony is taking place in the Great Hall.
Good heaven,
we're
I
watching
can
it on
hear
a big screen
yeah,
out
yeah.
here, and we can see Kate Blanchett still passing around those baby photos. I think she's overdone that
yeah,
a bit, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, the people from OK Magazine are not here for another hour.
And indeed.
Yes.
So luckily, all
Fantastic.
Our guests, by a weird coincidence, are actually in Canberra today. And at 10:30, we're speaking with Miss Death.
With who?
With Lucy.
Mm. Oh, yes.
From the
yes.
quarantine
yes,
station.
Yes, that's right. She's down here.
She's made the trip
she's
down.
That's right. They're from the. She's from the theatre group that's doing a performance out at the Manly Quarantine. Well, it's known as the Q Station now.
Oh,
it was
right.
the formerly known as the Quarantine Station. So. Mm.
I think it's really important that they actually pay attention to Lucy today, because the whole quarantine station thing's about to blow up again. I think it's the avian flu's going to take us over. It's going to be the new form of the plague.
Absolutely.
Now, that's going to be one of the biggest issues at the top of the list
Definitely.
Of the summit.
Mm. What were some of the old diseases that they quarantined out of the quarantine
the plague.
Station?
The plague. The plague, yes.
Well, that was the
Smallpox.
Oldest of the oldest.
Mm.
Yep.
Smallpox, the Spanish influenza that killed
right.
millions of people in Europe. It just
Tuberculosis, TB was
TB
a big
TB was
thing.
A biggie. That,
you know,
yeah.
one of the
Still
reasons
biggie,
why that beautiful piece of Oceanside property has not gone up for sale is I believe there's actual bodies buried down there, and there's all sorts of you know, maybe some of these plagues sitting in jars or something just underneath the surface. So they don't want to kick that dirt up
just
too
one
much.
Big party or are people going to be talking around here or what?
Look, there's been a bit of an incident already, Jay Katz. The wheel has actually come off Piers Ackerman's golf cart. Apparently Miranda Devine kept steering it to the right. And,
yeah.
The whole thing's just tipped over, and Piers is unceremoniously rolling down the steps of Parliament House as we
That's
speak.
Why people are cheering.
They are cheering. Come on now.
Must be one of the best moments they're going to have here today, I'd say. You know, I thought the wheels had come off their little caboose a long time ago, actually. Anyway.
Indeed. And look, arriving at 11 o'clock, he's making a special trip down. Jared Masters, a great young jazz pianist, part of the Jazz Groove Cooperative, do some great things around Sydney. They run lots of gigs. They've got a jazz loft. We'll talk about that a little later on.
He's also going to be exposing the conspiratorial nature behind all of this. I think
he
jazz musicians, since historically, since time immemorial, have been aware of all those sinister forces rumbling underneath this completely constructed conundrum.
Are they carting Piers Ackerman off?
They are, actually.
Handcuffs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's a breath of fresh air. It really is. Look, the other thing, too, is if we get a chance, we might just duck into the Deakin Centre. It's not supposed to be known out there, but the Deakin Centre is one of our big electronic intercept places down here. It's an underground facility, but I'll see if I can get a couple of tickets. There's a couple of spruikers over there. Maybe we'll get a few tickets to get down and see that computer facility.
Is that a guy juggling balls over there?
I think so, it is.
What's going on? It's a bit of a carnival atmosphere down here.
It's a love-in.
It is a love-in, yeah.
The Naked City.
Oh, live from the 2020 summit. Now, do you think this 2020 was inspired by the American current affairs show, 2020.
I think so.
It's going to be in that sort of style, isn't it? It's going to be that breakthrough tabloid journalism down here.
Snappy.
We have got issues, ladies and gentlemen. What issues? It's going to be like an auction, you know?
It is indeed, and they've worked it out. With 1,000 people, they've got about 39 seconds each
to put forward their
agenda.
It's the 1,000 bagels I'm worried about, you know, those poor caterers down here. But anyhow, it is wonderful. Of course, we have not been allowed in. We couldn't even get some scalp tickets or those sort of... There was a draw for sort of mystery tickets. I believe that's where Pierce Ackerman's ticket went.
Right.
And now that he's been taken away, well, I mean, maybe we should be allowed in.
Miranda Devine's still circling Parliament House. A bit like
a vulture.
Like the Indians used to circle
with
those,
a carcass down on the ground.
And we might even have a chat with Miranda later on.
I don't think it's worthy at all.
Can we
scrap that?
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't do
completely.
That. Now look, Joe Katz, it's been a bad week for Australian sport with Darcy, of course.
I didn't know there was a good week.
Now Nick Darcy actually looks a lot like Corey, doesn't he? He looks like he just needs to colour his glasses yellow.
Well, he's been kicked off the team for the Beijing Olympics, and
he could have killed someone.
Well, this week, of course, the arrest of former Olympian Scott Miller and son of Ken Catchpole, Mark
Catchpole. I don't want to comment
Who's
on
that.
Kenny Catchpole was a famous...
I don't know who they are.
Well, he was a very famous rugby union player.
Well, there you go. That's why I don't know who they are.
Anyway, one of the things they found in...
was a drill press.
A store. It was a pill press.
a drill press.
Now,
they were carpenters.
If you've been watching Underbelly, the pill press featured...
heavily.
Quite prominently in the first couple of episodes, Carl Williams had one in his house and he was pumping out pills. I'm just thinking that, you know how coffee machines became all the vogue? People have got...
Espresso machines
and now they've
stuff.
Got the, you know, the $2,000, $3,000
ones.
And they're doing barista courses.
I can see the pill press becoming
the next big thing.
Yes, the next designer item, the next...
Do you think there's a barista course out there for the pill press?
Well, I can see companies like Breville and DeLonghi and Sunbeam, the people that make
Roche, working in league with Roche.
No, making their own sort of, you know, boutique pill presses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you're having a wedding shower and you get like a blender and a toaster and somebody gives you a pill press.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's marketed ostensibly, you know, to make your own vitamins and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we all know what it's for, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We
so
do.
You can pump out amphetamines at home.
Absolutely.
And once the pill press has become popular... wedding showers and as gifts, anniversary
gifts. Bar mitzvahs, all that sort of thing.
We'll see the home lab.
A bit like
the home brewing kit.
Yes. Yeah.
But everything you need to make your own vitamins.
There you go.
All the pipettes and, you know, all the glassware and that. You can just stick it on the stove and cook up something and whack it through the pill press.
And away you go.
Away you go.
It's party time.
Maybe Terrific Scientific could actually bring those in.
Well, you know, they've started all those. You know, there was just a little while ago, I was noticing in all the stores you could buy all those, you know, a bar setup. So you could have your own bar and it was all those, you know, you turn the bottles upside down and you hang them with the little, you know, tappy things that you put on there so you can just stick your glass under it, push it up and it you know, dispenses a shot and then you can add your mix. And it was like, you know, it's almost like they don't even want you to go out to drink anymore or to go to the chemist anymore. You can just make it all at home yourself or the coffee shops.
And look,
you know what I mean?
What a way to increase your popularity.
Absolutely.
Just send a, you know,
it'd be party night at your house every night.
I have my own pill press. I say, Coffinhead's got his own pill press.
That's
right.
Let's go around and get some vitamin C.
Not only that, he's got a fondue set and we'll go around, we'll have a bit of fondue.
Or some vitamin E.
Because with those pill presses, you can churn out, apparently the one that was confiscated ended up in a canard self-storage.
Did it?
23,000 pills a day you can pump out on one of those.
Jeez.
That's a lot of vitamins.
That's a lot of vitamins, absolutely.
It is indeed.
And 23,000 pills a day.
23,000 pills a day.
Yeah. That is a lot of vitamins. You can start up your own business, your own health store.
It's funny, it's the magical number, 23.
You can give Blackmores a run for their money, I reckon.
I thought it was actually 23,000 pills an hour if you've got the rapid speed machine. Look, I'm just looking here at the list of topics and I can't see anything modern apart from global warming here today at the 2020 summit.
It needs to be addressed.
What about techno-stalking? techno hacking, the brutalizing of people up there on MyFace and web space and all that sort of stuff. What about all those issues, those really important issues?
The laundering of money through Second Life.
Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that incredible?
I believe it.
This is just part of that disease that's coming out here from the Vatican, really, isn't it? I mean, they were laundering money. Now, in Second Life, now people have taken this on as a bit of religious theology, I'm sure, of a coffinette and missed death.
Absolutely.
And they've decided, look, let's do what the Vatican Bank's been doing for hundreds of years. Let's launder our money through it.
Yes, look, I just digressing.
David Yollop, where are you?
Great security down here, and I've just seen a team of ASIO agents go over to the pipe band and check out the sporrans and lift up the kilts to see if...
There's nothing untoward under there.
Hear how quiet that band just went because of that? Now, look, one thing about ASIO was supposed to be undercover. Why are they wearing the name of their organisation? They've got tattoos on their forehead.
Yes.
This is just shocking. I can't believe the new Australia. You know?
Indeed. Now, look, if you think that there's something that should be on
the
agenda,
we'll be pushing that paper under the door.
Give us an email. That's what we'll do. Send us an email here, studio@fbiradio.com. It's actually the portable studio.
The Portaloo studio.
But don't put Portaloo in front of it. Just studio@fbiradio.com. We'll write it on a note. We'll give it to Kate Blanchett. She can hand it out with the baby photos.
Now, one thing they're missing here, but they have in Beijing, is quack, a duck that's actually become very famous over there. Do you know about him? Every day he follows his owner into the major city, the part of the local agricultural market, wearing a red scarf and tiny little red shoes. Must be wanting to get back to Kansas. And someone asks him to dance, sing, or count. And evidently, if you hold one finger up to quack, he quacks once. You hold two fingers up, he quacks twice. And I tell you what, at the end of today's 2020 summit, I doubt if half these people that represent us can even do that.
You could be right there, Jim.
Yeah, well, it was just a feeling.
What's happening now?
Somebody coming through?
No, I think
it's
just...
No, you can't see. Oh, they're just getting excited for no reason around here. So it is a bit of a party atmosphere, isn't it?
It is a party atmosphere, yeah.
Well, I think it's Brendan Nelson doing that juggling act again, just on the steps
I think he
there.
Just dropped his balls. That's why.
Well, Brendan Nelson actually came out...
I think he dropped them a long time ago, Mr.
...expressing his scepticism for the whole event, saying that it probably wouldn't amount to much. At the same time, he failed to mention that his popularity now has dwindled to about a 7% approval rating.
He won't even say to the Australian population that he's sorry for that mere fact, will he? No.
I think they've reserved his 39 seconds for right till the very end, when people are actually leaving the hall.
Yeah.
All the
coaches are driving off and they're not going to hear it, but they'll see him at least trying to articulate it.
It's only today, isn't it?
Yes.
Where are we staying tomorrow, tonight?
Tomorrow.
And tomorrow too. So where are all these people? Is that why we had problems finding a hotel?
We did. We're staying at the Canberra Showground, I believe.
Out in the showground. Is that what you've organised?
Yeah.
Are we undercover?
No, we're not. Sleeping bags. Little tent.
What?
Yeah, well, there you go, Mr.
I'm driving home. Okay. Forget it. I'm not staying.
Well, we've got a show in Penrith tonight. We're going to have to drive home.
Yeah, we have to drive home. You can stay on your own, Coffin, and finish this up on this one on your own.
Very soon, we've got a beautiful, talented young actor with us from, who's doing a great play over there at the quarantine station.
Absolutely.
A very relevant play in terms of what we're facing here today at the 2020 Summit.
94.5 FM holds the Naked City. Enjoy.
Look, Joe Katz, we've just had an email down here at the 2020 Summit from Patrick, and Patrick says, I think you should suggest to Kate Blanchett that floating the idea of Australia's first actual naked city by the year 2020, it would need to be somewhere north of Cairns for practical reasons, but it wouldn't matter where it was really. The whole world would hear about it pretty quickly and potentially become the world's first home of nudity. Mr. Katz could be the first mayor.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be wearing clothing, but that's such a wonderful idea. And
I'm telling you, people, you don't want to see Joe Katz naked.
Thanks, Miss Death.
That's
well, that actually does come from a married woman.
That's
married
to me. It comes from somebody with experience.
Anyway, what a way to introduce our guest Miss Death,
who
has flown all the way down here to Canberra and has to go back very quickly the moment she's off the show. Can
that's
I have
right.
that introduction?
Lucy, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Now, you're here to, you know, mingle with the crowd and maybe put your ideas forward. You've come down with Kate's posse, haven't you?
Yes.
It's the entertainment.
Yes,
that's right. we're speaking today about Q Station's new... is it a theatrical? Would you call it a theatrical production?
Of course you would.
Yes, you would.
It's
you
a
would.
Big one.
Yep.
Called Defiance. Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to tell us a little bit about Defiance?
Well, it's on at the quarantine station. They've used the old... There's an old laundry in the old hospitals.
Oh, yes.
Been...
I know the laundry well.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Very scary places that have been there for over 100 years now. And they decided to kind of turn these two venues into theatres. And they've created a production called Defiance, which basically tells the story of the people who were quarantined at the quarantine station and suffered from smallpox and Spanish influenza. So we cover four time periods, like the 1890s we start with, and then we move to, which covers smallpox, and then we move to 1901,
the plague. Yes,
yes,
the plague. I love the plague.
And then the Spanish influenza, yes, during the war, 1918 to 1919, and then we kind of jump into the future and kind of have a look at potential problems with the avian flu.
Yes, the bird flu.
Yeah.
Coming right up.
I think that's great. You actually you span that course of history, but you actually get to prophesy as well about what the future and what could happen.
Mm.
Now, for people that don't know about the quarantine station, and if you live in Sydney, you should know about it because it's a great historical block of land. It's one of the most beautiful sort of views you'll ever get of the harbour.
Mm, stunning.
Can you tell them where it is?
It's at North Head in Manly. So if you're driving through Manly, and you keep going up the hill, and it's the North Head up top there. So I had never been there myself, actually. I'm from Sydney, so it was a huge surprise to me. And it's a beautiful, I mean, apart from the play being there, it's a beautiful natural environment with lots of gorgeous animals and things like that. So, yeah, it's an amazing place.
And I believe as actors in this theatrical production, you actually get to wear a lot of hats, do a lot of separate roles. It's a bit like Peter Sellers in Doctor Strangelove. How many roles do you have in this production?
Oh, I think I'm doing about... five roles. The others vary from 5 to 8. But I think we cover about 20 different accents from the globe, mostly the UK, from Lancashire to South London to
Is it hard
Yorkshire,
keeping that dialect
Irish
in your head for
yes,
the next...
Yes, it is. I'm still mastering it at the moment. So give me a week and I'll be on top of it. But we've got a voice coach, so we've been very lucky to kind of be helped through it all like that. But which creates... That's half the fun for the actors anyway, to kind of jump in and out of all these different roles and different accents and characters, and, yeah.
It must be astounding actually doing a piece of history in the location where it occurred as a theatrical production. Now, there's been... I've spent many years out there doing ghost research.
Oh, okay.
With technology and equipment. And I know there's some ghost tours. They're classic sort of your campfire tale ghost tours. But have you felt anything odd during these productions?
Look, I haven't personally, and I've kind of put it out there to the ghost. Look, I'm quite happy not to meet you during my time there.
I've got enough work to do as it is.
Yeah, look, you know, just leave me alone. But some of the cast and a few of the crew have had a few interesting experiences. So there definitely is a vibe there. I mean, there's thousands of people that have been buried on the site. And, you know, the history there is amazing. And, yeah, so there's bound to be some sort of... activity there, but I haven't come across it myself, but some of the other
there's
have.
A lot of mysteries surrounding that site. And you know, one of the reasons that I've always heard that's gossiped about the mere fact that it hasn't been sold off and dug up and become some sort of high-rise
it's
area.
It's pristine you know, headland
and it's national
it's
heritage.
It's just amazing, no?
But is the mere fact that some of these strains of viruses may be buried in the bodies this is one of the fears.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely. And you can't go digging that stuff up.
No, you can't. But where in the laundry, which hasn't been used. I mean, they only closed down the quarantine station.
84, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1984.
Yeah, 85. I couldn't believe that they were still interring people there.
So the laundry, the 80s. You know, you're using the laundry there. That's so
old. Are there
old
any rats out there at all?
Well, we have a local possum in the theatre that decided to, you know, do his business on stage.
Do you go into the showers? The showers are very creepy.
No, I'm a bit scared. Everyone says that. I've
the
seen
showers
them.
Are really creepy.
No, we've had experiences in the showers.
Yeah,
when we're using
used to go into the
and
showers
stuff.
And there's a little peephole that the guy used to watch to see that you were right under the shower, and then they dump all this lime on you and give you a lime bath to sort of strip that whole, you know, layer of skin and, yeah, and any diseases that you had. So it was
well,
party
that
time
was as
out
soon
there.
As you got off the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
yeah,
as
absolutely.
Soon as you
that
got off the boat, you went into the shower.
And
then they actually had a lung bath.
Yes, the old lung bath.
Which was, they actually took you from the showers, and it's only, you know, like 20 metres away, and they locked the door, and what were they pumping into your
cyanide?
Lungs?
Cyanide? I don't
some
know.
Sort of gas.
Some sort of
and that was supposed to clean the internals, you know. So what a way to say, hey, we're here in Sydney.
Well, where are we, in Auschwitz? What's going on here?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people would have come after the Second World War.
Absolutely. It would have been exactly like that for them.
And I've seen where they put them, where they kind of gas them. It's awful.
Yeah, it's not a...
How does the play portray the quarantine station? As a kind of spooky, weird kind of place? Or as
the first act kind of looks at that. It's kind of set in... the first act is set in the laundry, but during a royal commission where they kind of question how it was run and that a lot of people were quarantined against that weren't sick. So I played the character of Sarah in the first act with my six children. And I had a few... Apparently she had a few pimples and bumps on her faces. And this is all taken from true stories, and that her and her family were quarantined because they thought she had smallpox. And subsequently,
while
her daughter was there, she caught smallpox and died.
Oh, right,
so,
okay, yeah.
Things about, you know, people unfairly quarantined, and they couldn't get doctors there, so they also look at that story about quarantining doctors because they couldn't convince anybody to go and actually help the people that were sick there.
Sure.
So, some pretty horrific stories that we cover.
That's fantastic. You actually start the play off like that. Mm. You actually get it behind the scenes. Yeah.
What about, is there any humour attached to the quarantine station as such in the body of the play, or not really?
Oh, that's a no.
No, it's more a dark.
There's a few light moments.
Yeah,
there's always a laugh somewhere.
Yeah.
Put four actors in a play, we'll find a laugh. So, yeah, I mean, more of the characterisations and, there are some lighter moments. But, no, it's they're sad stories, really, really sad stories. And the soldiers that came back from the First World War, you know, bringing back the Spanish influenza, which killed some ridiculous amount of people in 18 months. Mm. The tragic stories.
And do you find having the audience in the actual, you know, building where it all took place, it's a lot different, the interaction, as opposed to like in a theatre and that? Are the audience sitting right on top of you? Or?
They're very close. Well, we haven't actually opened yet, so we've had a few test audiences come in, but we're looking forward to that. But, yeah, they're right involved, right?
There's
in the
no
of it, really.
Audience participation. They don't have to go through the showers. Or the
no, it's all right. Apart from any ghost experiences, we don't pull anybody into the audience.
Right, great. Sounds fantastic. How long's the season actually running for?
At this stage, we're looking at a six-month season, so it's a fairly huge production.
How many nights a week?
We're starting off at four shows a week, which might expand to eight.
Yeah.
So, because the whole quarantine station's about to be reopened.
That's right.
As
it's
well,
been refurbished and it's going to be like a big convention centre.
Yeah, and you can stay there. And
there's rooms to stay. There's all sorts of different package deals that you can actually get if you want to stay the night or if you want to have dinner and you know, stay in a hotel. It's like $600 and something for a room for something or other. You can have a bit of a weekend away and a bit of a dirty weekend.
Yes, down on Quarantine Beach.
Yeah, nice.
Picking up all sorts of infections.
Are the sweets given names like, you know, the bubonic plague?
I don't know, but they probably should have, you know.
Gee whiz, how do you cope with doing a role that's so extensive, five nights a week? I mean, that is a huge
commitment. It's a job. It's a job.
It's a job. You do
it. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, it's emotionally draining, I think, because I have a child in the first act that, you know, eventually gets very sick from smallpox. So, yeah, but, we go in there, we do our job, and we have fun with it as much as we can.
Mm. Look, I'd love you to come back on The Naked City, maybe halfway through it or towards the end, and tell us if you have had any anomalous experiences, because it's bound to kick something up.
Something's going to happen, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I got a bit creeped out at the morgue. The morgue is the scariest.
Oh, well, yes.
Yes.
The mortuary that you
the mortuary.
It's tiny.
Yeah, it's tiny, but... Yeah. It's like I couldn't even walk through the door, and I'm not going in there. You people go in, do it.
There's a lot of murmurs too around the Second World War that they were doing some dodgy stuff there with prisoners of war.
And all right, let's not go there. Let's not go there.
But it's interesting to hear that you are actually peeling back some of that history, and people may be hearing
untold
stories that haven't been told before.
Yeah, I mean, they had there's a beach there, but apparently that they had all the gravestones up there, and they actually had to move them because people coming off the boat were so horrified at the first thing they saw gravestones. And so all these people are buried, but there's no reference of where they are buried, so it's you don't know where you're walking and where people are.
No.
So
So when's the opening night?
Well, at this stage we've got about three opening nights.
Yes.
We officially open on Anzac Day. I think that's the day we officially open.
And what time is that? And
At 7:30 on Anzac Day, which is next Friday, the 25th.
And people can get their tickets. How do they go about getting their tickets?
Well, I don't know. What do I look like? Ticketmaster? Do I look like a Ticketmaster?
No, you don't.
No.
Through the normal
website, the quarantine
station. That's right. I will read out the website in a moment. But we have five double passes
Gee,
to the opening
bonus.
Night, the official opening night on Friday, the 25th, which is Anzac Day. That's next Friday at 7:30. So we're going to get our young
producer.
He'll take the calls and he'll get your
details. And will they come in here and pick the tickets?
No, we will send them out to them.
Okay.
On Monday morning.
All right.
Should I do that or should we send? No, we will send them out to them, I think, in the post.
Okay.
Do you want to give that number, Ms. Steph?
I will give that number. It's 833-22-999. Now, you've got to be an FBI supporter. I shouldn't even have to say it. You should be a supporter if you are listening to this show. 833-22-999. The first five people will get a double pass to the production on Friday.
The
tickets are worth $65 a ticket, people. And it's out at the Manly Quarantine Station. So you've got to be able to get there yourself.
Easy to get to.
It is very easy to get to. Catch a ferry, make it a night out. There's restaurants and stuff there too, isn't it? They've really zhuzhied the place up, you know, but just under the surface there's all sorts of things happening.
Yes.
So I'm sure it's going to be a great show. It sounds fascinating. We probably should go out and have a look at it, Cats.
Oh, I think we're definitely going to go out and have a look at
That's right. So the first five people to ring in, double pass to the show on Friday. Thank you very much for coming in.
I just wanted to ask one last question. Mm-hmm. What's it like for an actor, a theatrical actor, working in Sydney today? I mean, you're attached to this play for 6 months. Is there much work? Is it difficult?
Look, I'm in a good position.
Are you waitressing a lot?
No, I've done my years. I've done my time waitressing.
Good.
I love the way you said
that. No more waitressing for you.
So that's it.
It's tough. Any actor out there will say it's tough. But, you know, we keep our fingers
This is a good gig, but...
This is a great gig.
Fantastic.
And Lucy, do you want to... Have you ventured out into film and television? Do you do any of that?
Look, when it comes along, yes, a bit here and there.
It's better than waitressing.
That's
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, it was very nice to meet you, and thank you for coming in and speaking to us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And all the best with the play. Get out there and don't break a leg, because it could lead to infection.
You're on the Naked City. We're coming to you today live from the 2020 summit on the steps of a Parliament House. Somebody who's made a special trip all the way down to Canberra to be with us today. In fact, he's actually playing a gig in Canberra.
And this man couldn't afford a Learjet. He's not frivolous in that sense. He's come down in a biplane.
Jared Masters, piano player extraordinaire. Welcome, Jared.
Oh, it's great to be in Canberra today.
It is
beautiful.
Good. Yeah, you're playing down here at the Hippo Bar in a few weeks, aren't you?
Yeah, 7th of May.
All those people listening online.
Yep, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
That's just a bar for very overweight politicians, is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Jared, you've been part of the Sydney music scene for quite a while now, but you're originally from New Zealand, is that right?
Yeah, I am.
When did you make the move over to Australia?
It's coming up to 10 years now.
Yeah.
So, I'm starting to feel quite at home in this big country.
You've still got a Marae back at home, haven't you?
Yeah, I own a couple, actually.
Good idea.
Yeah, and a couple of fishing treaties as well.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Did you start playing music in New Zealand? Or?
Yeah, I started playing music when I was pretty young, actually.
Like you're old now.
Yeah, or younger. I sort of strapped to the piano stool when I was about 5 and they sort of said, have a go at that, and I think I kind of liked it.
Did you want to learn piano or were you made to?
Yeah, I was pretty into it. I mean, there were times there where I kind of was into, you know, playing soccer on a reasonably high level as well, so I was kind of thinking, this is hard work trying to do both. So, but eventually, music took over.
And what about jazz? How did you actually get interested in jazz per se?
We had a great school in Christchurch where I grew up, Christchurch Jazz School, and I just happened to be living next door to the head of the school. And, through high school I gradually got more and more into music, and that was the way I was going to go. So my neighbour said, well, why don't you come along and, go to the jazz school for a few years, and then I also really got stuck into playing the piano at that stage.
Right, and who were the musicians that inspired you at that time, Jared?
Well, getting into the jazz thing, you know, internationally, of course, guys like Herbie Hancock and Keith Jarrett and that. Mm. And then I was digging through some record stores in Christchurch and came across a few Mike Nock records.
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he?
He's a badass.
Yeah.
And
he's one of our own.
Well, he's one of my own, actually. Yeah.
Oh, is he really? Kiwi, no, yeah. I blew it there completely.
I discovered he was a Kiwi, and I thought, wow, this guy's great. He's from my hometown. He was born in Christchurch. You know, I like what this guy's doing. I'll check him out. And so that was actually probably the main reason why I moved to Sydney, because Mike lives here and he teaches at the conservatorium. So I thought, I'll better go and... you know, see what he's got to show me.
Mm. And he's a sweet guy, Mike, you know. He's a very affable character. Look, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, we've adopted both of you.
Mm. Thank you.
It's good to see Mike's opening for Sonny Rollins too at the Opera House.
Is he really? Yeah. Oh, that's great. Mm, fantastic. I hope they have a jam together.
Now, speaking of the con, there's a whole school of young jazz players in Sydney at the moment that's very healthy, and it's sort of given birth over the last few years to the Jazz Groove Cooperative. Tell us about that.
I
like the Jazz Groove Cooperative.
Canberra likes that. Mm. Well, funny you should say that, Canberra, because we were talking to the Hippo Bar about having a regular Jazz Groove night in Canberra. So hang on, Canberra people, we'll be there.
Rocking
very
out.
Very soon. Mm. But we're talking about Jazz Groove. Yeah, it did kind of grow out of a bunch of us who were coming out of the con. You know, it sort of started about 10 years ago. Guys like Cameron Undy, Dave Thiek, Sean Wayland, Nick McBride sort of decided, well, hang on, there's not enough gigs for us to play. We're all making this great music, but there's nowhere for us to play. So they got together and formed this Jazz Groove Association, with the idea of putting on gigs, and it eventually grew into a record label, which I was silly enough to put my hand up for and say, I'll take care of that. And 10 years down the track, we're going pretty well, putting on gigs at the Basement, and we're up to record number 41, so
that's incredible.
Things are looking good.
Mm. And that's, you've got your regular nights at the Excelsior too, haven't you?
Yeah, that's a mainstay every Tuesday night down at the Excelsior Hotel, which is great.
And have you got a website for that label?
Yeah.
www.jazzgroove.com takes care of everything. The association, record label, funny jokes.
Fantastic.
And Cameron Under, who's the bass player in your trio, he runs a bit of a jazz loft in Sydney, doesn't he? A regular kind of weekly gig.
He has a warehouse
on
Elizabeth Street, opposite Central Station, and he calls his venue 505. It's apartment number 505. And if you're lucky enough to get there, being sort of the first 100 people there on a Monday night, he'll let you into his apartment and you can see a great live band every Monday night.
Go through his undie drawer.
Yeah, undies, undies.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. It is fantastic. I love that sort of private little loft sort of experience. That's
it's
where,
a kind of return to the romantic days of, you know, the jazz scene in New York in the 60s and 70s and 80s,
isn't it? Yeah, we really need this underground sort
Absolutely.
Of scene, because it's what everything else kind of grows from, you know. If you look at all the touring pop and rock bands around Australia, all the musicians are sort of coming out of this scene of, you know, music. So
we're not nurturing anyone.
That's exactly right. You've got to have some sort of underground live music scene happening.
And as you said before, I mean, just the lack of venues, you know, and it's really difficult sometimes to actually get into a venue. It can cost you more money than what you make on the door. So
like most venues, they're a business and they want you've got to be able to guarantee them, you know, a certain number of people in there that are going to drink certain, you know, a certain bar tab sort of thing, you know, and so they're going to keep going for the tried formula, you know, the people that they know will bring in the numbers, even if it's crappy music. They do. Well, that's the way business works.
It's always a juggling act with venues, but thankfully we've managed to find a few pretty supportive ones over the years.
Of course, there's always
that. It's going well.
Now, Jared, you've also done quite a bit of touring with various pop artists, haven't you? You've just come back from the States touring with Missy Higgins.
I have, and that was a great experience. Yeah. Wonderful to be in the States. It's such a great, I mean, there's a lot of crazy things happening there at the moment, but the music scene over there is just wonderful and so large, and so many great musicians and so many great instruments, and everything's good about it.
Yeah.
And what actually happens behind the scenes on a Missy Higgins gig?
It stays behind the scenes.
She just goes
stays
crazy.
Behind the scenes.
Is she really,
excuse me?
You know, she a mosh pit type girl when she lets her hair down?
It's very chilled out. We're probably the most un-rock and roll band in the world, actually. We do things like bike riding, tennis,
Cup of tea.
Definitely lots of tea. You know, a couple of rock climbing, yoga classes.
That's very refreshing, really, when you think about it. That's brilliant.
And you're playing
boring but refreshing.
You also played in a lot of soul and funk bands around Sydney, haven't you? Like Eon Beats.
And, yeah.
Can you name some of the others you played in?
Verna Sanzoni is a great soul. She's kind of got a really good old soul flavour to her music. Mm. Been doing a lot of work with her. Lily Dior, again, another great soul jazz singer. I've got a little outfit with DJ Houston. We do, we're sort of called Tight Pants at the moment, but it's a floating title,
right,
so to speak.
As opposed to floating testicles.
And that's pretty cool. Me, Tim Rollinson, and DJ Houston, we get out and do a few gigs, which is great.
Well, look, you're in here today to talk about your new album and your gig coming up at the Basement on Wednesday night to launch it. But before we get into that, this is a track called Ray Charles, one of your earlier recordings. Tell us about this. Ray Charles, obviously a big influence on you.
He was, and I was checking out Ray a lot. I think I wrote this just after I'd seen the film, and we just happened to have a bit of spare time at Billy Field's studio, Paradise Studios, so we thought... And Aaron Ottignon actually features on this track. We got two keyboards.
That's an amazing studio he runs there, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, very analog.
Yeah, that's why we like it. We've made all our trio, most of our trio recordings up there.
And then did you find the film inspiring? Did you think it was a good biopic?
I thought it was great, yeah. That one and the Johnny Cash one.
Yes, The Naked City coming to you today live from the 2020 summit.
Yeah, I mean, we're not 2030, we're 2020, you know, and I think everyone just has to give up everything, basically, you know, and that's where a piano is the perfect instrument to play because, I mean, it just doesn't do anything to pollute the environment whatsoever.
It doesn't. I was thinking about that the other day, looking around my house because I'm moving house at the moment and looking at all these gizmos we have and I was sort of thinking to myself, man, I've made a career out of playing, you know, one of the most untechnological things that is probably still out there in the world being used.
Yeah, you play a variety of keyboards, of course, don't you?
Yeah, we do tend to fire up the electronics from time to time as well, so we're not totally living in the 17th.
Do you have a preference for playing acoustic piano or?
Oh, well, man, my preference would be to have one of everything on stage. A Rhodes, a acoustic piano, Wurlitzer, few analog synthesizers, B3 organ.
Right. And that track we just heard, Ray Charles, obviously has got all the elements of some of the classic Ray Charles songs in there.
Yeah.
It's a homage, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, homage or slight rip-off, depending on how you're feeling.
Right. Now, on Wednesday night, Jared, you've got a big night down at the Basement. You're launching your new album, Pendulum, for the Jazz Groove label. And tell us a little bit about the making of this album.
There's another trip up to Billy Field's studio and he's located in Gosford now, and I think we spent 3 days recording, might have even been two. It's beautiful whenever you go up to Billy's, whenever we go there, he sort of takes us in. We stay upstairs in his guest rooms and he'll cook up a big pasta, which we can never get to the end of it.
Right.
And in the morning he'll fry, because he comes from a farming background, Billy, so
really?
he'll somehow find a enormous tray of lamb chops, fry them up for breakfast.
Right.
There you go, boys, now get stuck into it. Make some jazz for me.
Does that put you in the right mood? Or?
Yeah, I think it gets the protein in there.
Yeah, right. So, it's out on Jazz Groove. You're launching it on Wednesday night. You've got some special guests on the night down there at the Basement.
Yeah, we've got a great support act of Carl Dewhurst and Matt Keegan playing a duo set, which is going to be interesting because it's something that they don't do very often, so a special occasion.
And what about the songs on this album? How did you go about writing these? Over a period of time? Or?
Yeah, started writing them after we recorded our last album, Island Life, and after that, our drummer Nick McBride, from that era, he moved to China. So we got a new drummer, Evan Minnell, and whenever I'm writing for a band, I like to have the feeling of that particular band in my head. So it took a couple of years of, you know, touring and doing gigs for us to kind of get that, you know, kind of know who we were again after we changed the drummers, and over that time gradually writing songs, and by last year, midway through last year, we kind of had found our the real feel we wanted to get, and, and decided on what tunes we wanted to record, and that was in the studio in about October last year, I think we recorded it.
Right. How do you find playing in the piano trio? It's a kind of classic sort of jazz unit in many ways, because it's a sort of a stripped down sound, isn't it? It's like, I mean, you're used to playing in bigger bands where you've got horn sections and whatever, and
yeah,
the jazz trio is the classic.
It's classic, and it's got such a long history now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Seems to feel very natural for me. I don't know, maybe it's a piano player's thing, but yeah, it just seems to be quite complete. And
do you have to work hard at playing in a trio? Or?
Well, not with this trio, luckily, because the guys, Cameron and Evan, are so interactive, and if we ever, you know, if one guy is ever short of an idea, there's no problems because someone else is throwing something your way very fast.
And what have you got planned for the next year or so, Jaron, as far as touring and playing your own shows?
Yeah, well, we'll be playing a lot of shows to promote this album. We've got a little East Coast tour coming up at the end of June, and then we'll do something down south a little bit after that, and then hope to take the band over to NZ for some shows and onward from there, and gradually working towards our next album.
Great. Well, look, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Wish you all the luck with Wednesday night at the Basement. It should be a huge night. I believe a lot of the jazz glitterati will be down there. And
Anyone's going to be down there. But I have to just let out a little secret.
Yeah.
We've got a little
secret. Won't be a secret after it's let out.
No, I'm going to let it out because there's a secret code word if you're coming down to the Basement next Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
If you come to the door and you say the word jazz groove, then they'll let you in for a special price.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, this is Red Rocket off Pendulum. You can get the album out now. You can go to the Jazz Groove website, or you can go to which is the best site to go to check out your good self, Jared?
Well, go to my MySpace, myspace.com/TheJaredMastersTrio.
The Naked City on FBI.